In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus has been traveling through Palestine with his disciples, and he was drawing quite a crowd because he was doing amazing things, things like casting out demons, healing the sick, and the word about Jesus and what he was doing was spreading. He didn't limit his ministry to just the Jewish people. He had even healed a Roman centurion's slave who was near death because the centurion had heard about Jesus and asked him to help. And now today, we have a wonderful little known story from Luke's gospel. It's about Jesus raising to life the son of a widow. Most of us know the more well-known story of the raising of Lazarus right before Easter. But now we hear this story after Easter, and it's really placed at the beginning of Jesus's ministry. So picture a small Palestinian village called Nain, just a short distance from Jesus's hometown of Nazareth. People are on foot, and the road is dusty, and as Jesus approaches the gate of the town, he finds a funeral procession of mourners, and they are wailing and playing cymbals and flutes as they walk. A widow's only son is being carried on a pallet, followed by the widow weeping, and many others from the town. The ancient Jews buried their dead mostly outside of the city, either on the day of death or the next day. The widow was at her own dead end. She had lost her only son, and it was bad enough that she lost her child, but she had also lost any hope of livelihood or protection. Widows were especially vulnerable, no husband to support them, and often their sons would fill that role. But if there was no son, all the property went back to the husband's family, and the widow would be at the very bottom, unable to make it alone. It was all very bleak for this widow of Nain, no life in sight. But then, Jesus wanders onto the scene. Jesus takes it all in and sees the grieving mother and feels real gut-wrenching compassion for her. He tells her not to weep. This could seem unhelpful. Of course she's weeping, but Jesus knew what he was about to do. He stepped out and touched the pallet, and everyone stood very still. Then he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. You can imagine the mixed reaction of the crowd. Some may have fainted, some may have screamed. Some may have remembered the ancient story of the prophet Elijah raising the dead son of the widow of Zarephath, which we just heard read from the Hebrew scriptures. But all of the people were gripped with fear, and then they glorified God and praised God's favor upon God's people. In this miraculous resuscitation, death was overcome, new life was given to the young man, and now there was also hope in the future of the widow of Nain. Jesus essentially gives both of them back their lives. He overcame the several deaths they had already experienced in some way. The widow was still a widow, but now she had her son back, and her own vulnerability and grief had for the time being vanished. This was a kind of resurrection for both of them. The trouble is, I think, that not everyone gets a miracle like the widow of Nain and her son. And she didn't ask for one either. Jesus just showed up and had compassion on her. So why doesn't everyone get a miracle, even when many people are praying hard for one? And our cries for help and grief are so real. The world is in desperate need of miracles, wouldn't you agree? And plus, we want some proof that God can actually bring light into darkness and heal up the world. The other trouble is that often what happens is unexpected and surprising, just like for the widow of Nain. This story of raising the widow's son from the dead was a sign that God's kingdom is breaking in, as it was in the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. So sometimes we do get a sign that God is acting when all seems lost. Justo Gonzalez calls a miracle the irruption of the true order, the order of the Creator God, into the disorder of the present world. Jesus has broken into the widow's grief with the irruption of new life. But all these signs are not complete signs. The widow's son and others whom Jesus raised have been merely resuscitated. Yet, they point to God's divine power over life and death. So we're invited to read this little story in light of not only the older Elijah story, but also in light of the larger story at the end of the gospel about the crucified and risen Jesus and his grieving widowed mother Mary. Because we're invited to see this story with post-Easter eyes and resurrection faith. The stories of the dead being raised all point to real resurrection. Jesus's resurrection, the promise of God for all people, the healing of all creation when God's kingdom completely breaks into this world, when sorrow and pain will be no more, but life everlasting. But for now, we all have to confront the deaths and losses in our own lives, the very real separations that occur, the times when we cry out in pain at our losses. But we live as people of hope, believing in the power of the resurrection, so we need not really fear death. And yet, there are many deaths that occur in our lives before the one at the end of our earthly one. We have many losses already on the books. Marriages, of jobs, of health, of children, of spouses, of finances. And you all know the list can be endless. Death has its own very real power. We continue, however, to pray for miracles in seemingly impossible situations, and especially for those we love. And we know that all things are possible with God. And you know what? When Jesus shows up, just about anything can happen. He surprises us with the unexpected at times. And just like for the people of Nain who were both afraid and also in the next breath glorified God, we too can't explain it all. We might be amazed to discover that death does not have the final word. We might be amazed to discover that we haven't hit a brick wall after all. There just might be a way forward. Even in Nain, even at the cross, even at all the dead ends and tombs in our own lives. Nadia Boltz-Weber said that having a God of resurrection means that the story is seldom over when we think it is. Where we put a period, God puts a comma. Perhaps our miracles will come in less dazzling forms, and we may come to recognize them only in time. We may be blinded to the many times that Jesus shows up on the road with us, the times in which God's compassion reaches out and touches us, helping us to find new life, even in great loss and difficulty. And we've all experienced loss and low points in our lives, times when there seems a no way forward, those times in the deep valley, those times when we've been overwhelmed like a great wave in the ocean. But the deep valley gives way to the high mountaintop. The wave breaks onto the shore, making all things new again. All of us know the story of Helen Keller, who overcame great handicaps and who lived an extraordinary life. And in her later years, she wrote this: "Once I knew the depth where no hope was, and darkness lay on the face of all things. Once I fretted and beat myself against the wall that shut me in, then love came and set my soul free. A little word from the fingers of another fell into my hands that had clutched at emptiness, and my heart leaped up with the rapture of living. I do not know the meaning of darkness, but I have learned the overcoming of it." Are there places in your life where you feel today that there's no way forward? Are there losses that you feel you will never overcome? Is there darkness in your life which needs some light to shine into it? And are there places where you have found a way? Friends who have surrounded you with love, new opportunities you've noticed, relationships that have healed, an unexpected gift that's come, grief that has given way to gratitude. We are invited to trust that Jesus shows up whether we call on him or not, whether we know he is there or not, whether the miracle or healing or grace is what we expect or not. We know that death will be permanently defeated, the defeat having been begun with Jesus' resurrection, and which will be completed when he returns again in power and great glory. These stories remind us that we meet the risen Jesus in all the deaths in our lives, and that death does not have the final word. As Will Willimon says, everything changes except death and taxes. Yet after Easter, we don't walk alone. Jesus walks with us, leads us down a surprising path that enables us to say, everything changes except taxes. The story today makes us confront the issues of loss and death, sure, but it also asks us to confront life and brings us to an awareness of grace. Because as Jesus gives life in this story, Jesus ultimately gives life to us as well in all of our own stories. God wants to bring life and new life to all of us. Giving life is, as Martin Luther once put it, God's proper work, the first most important thing that God does from the beginning when God breathed life into creation. So like Jesus said to the man, rise up. We are invited to rise up. We're invited to notice and to receive Jesus' outstretched hands and compassion. We're invited to rise up into the light of wholeness and healing, of mercy and forgiveness, into the surprising and amazing grace of God with Jesus, and to know that all the nights of weeping become mornings of song. Amen.